Postcard from Canada in Atlanta. In the 12 months prior to the widespread surge of COVID-19, I logged over 40,000 frequent flyer miles. And with the one exception of a family funeral in my parents' native St. Lucia, it was all work-related. I flew to Canada for a Girls 20 leadership conference, hopscotched all across the U.S. Southeast to meet with elected officials and business leaders, and traveled back to Ottawa, my hometown and government headquarters, more than a dozen times for meetings. There's no meter that tracks all of my Lyft rides, or the times I drive or I'm driven to local engagements, but there was little free space in my calendar. Since our office and staff moved to a work-from-home status on March 16th, this is the most I have been in one place for a very long time. Even prior to being appointed Consul General in Atlanta in 2017, my public service career involved heavy traveling. Though unsettling, this period of sheltering in place has in some ways brought a weird sense of calm in my house. My 7-year-old daughter wakes up lazily to find her mom still at home, and I can see the corners of her mouth turn up in a smile when she realizes that she has her mom in the house for yet another day. Her school via video conferencing is interspersed with coloring contests, living room dance parties, and a real softening of the no TV during the week rule that she was previously subjected to. She is in her version of heaven. And every parent knows when the kids are all right, we are at peace. The global pandemic has also elevated the importance of the Canada-US relationship and the crucial work of diplomatic representatives, not just in capital cities, but across the country. Canada has maintained a consulate general in Atlanta, responsible for 6 southeastern states, for close to 50 years. As COVID-19 emerged and the border between our two countries closed for all non-essential travel in order to help stop the spread, the work of my office in getting Canadians home while there was still time ramped up. Repatriations during a global pandemic is more challenging than some may think, and the knowledge that no matter how much you do, you will never be able to help everyone, and there will always be people who think you could have done more, is hard. But as I pulled an all-nighter during one of those efforts, I was filled with a sense of immense admiration and gratitude for the thousands of frontline workers who are doing the same, night after night, and in much less comfortable conditions than I am in. I have also been reminded of the real-life impact that the supply chains between our two countries have on our health and safety. Much of the beauty of the Canada-US relationship, of our interconnectedness, is that it flies below the radar. It is in many ways like your favorite university sweatshirt. You wear it every day after work and on the weekends, and don't think twice about it, until there's a risk of it being thrown out. Spotlight or not, our interconnectedness is making a real difference during the pandemic. The mill on Vancouver Island that produces the particular grade of pulp that is used to make the surgical masks and gowns used in hospitals and medical facilities across the United States is but one silver lining example. And if there is one thing that this global pandemic is teaching me, it's the power of the silver lining. Yes, my entire office has had to shift from face-to-face interactions to online platforms and teleconferences, but it has forced us to do more than just talk about the future of work and Office 2.0 and actually do it. Yes, I have sleepless nights worrying about the safety and well-being of my 24 staff, which includes one person with a new baby at home and another with family members who contracted and thankfully recovered from COVID-19. But this unprecedented time has allowed me to strengthen my leadership chops like no leadership summit could ever do. I constantly have to reassess how to navigate leadership and ensure business continuity in an uncertain environment with so many uncontrollable factors. I have learned that this takes flexibility, generosity, and grace. And it needs to be extended not just to my entire team, but also to myself. and through all of the ups and downs of emotion, vacillating between the love of being in my jogging pants all day to aching for the fellowship and camaraderie of Monday downtown Atlanta Rotary meetings, the one emotion I'm forcing myself to pin at the top of them all is gratitude. I and the entire consulate team are fortunate. We have continued to work and to do so while not having to put ourselves in danger of contracting this disease, which I know has not been the case for too many who are being more harshly affected by this crisis. I am the leader in a large organization that understands that it is not business as usual. There is little fear of reprisal if it takes you a bit longer to get that report out. While I may never collect as many air miles again, if the biggest challenge I have over the next several weeks is figuring out how to calm my cabin fever, then I really have everything to be grateful for.